Take a look at your bulletin in the back where the lessons are. That last phrase, verse 5, and he shall be their peace. How do we confuse this? Do we get mixed up? Maybe a little off track? Christ is to be our peace. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? He comes into the world, and according to the prophet and according to the fulfillment that Christ indeed did come and all that he accomplished, you know, we recognize he was born in Bethlehem. We recognize what tribe he was from. We know that he is the ruler in the sense of he's the ruler of us all, not only Judah and Israel, but for the whole world. We know that he's the Ancient of Days. That means he's from all eternity. And when you start going down the list, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty in the name of the Lord his God. That Christ has risen indeed, our Easter message, right? And he stands and still reigns today over all the world. And then you have, and they shall dwell secure. And I think that's where we go. When we no longer start feeling so secure and so safe, we sound like almost in a sense, maybe not as ditzy, but like, you know, the beauty contest. And what would you like? And they all go, world peace, you know. We start finding ways to make our little turf, if not bigger, peaceful. How do we do that? We start establishing rules. At my dinner table, we don't talk about two things, politics and religion. Yeah, that's the way we're going to keep peace in the house. Okay? In some houses, it's almost like a very obvious statement we don't talk about, and it's who's ever currently the president. Because we don't like, in that household, we don't like what's happening. And so there's currently we'd be President Obama. So there's no talking about President Obama. We want to have peace in this house. So we avoid certain subjects. When your children, especially if their daughters are old enough to date, you do not talk about their boyfriends if you want to have peace in the house. All kinds of rules. You know, there's topics that husbands and wives avoid. There's topics that the kids avoid. There's topics that in the workplace you avoid. And on, the location and the list increases. And in our mind, and it travels to our heart, we think we're keeping peace. It has become so evident in our culture today where the word tolerance is now changed to actually define as accept. You have to accept. You have to like who I am, what I am, and you no longer can disapprove or voice anything else. And it makes it tough. There is no longer speaking the truth in love. There's no longer sharing what God's Word says because that's forbidden in the workplace, it's forbidden out in the community, and even now, during such a great time of the year, workers are not allowed to say Merry Christmas unless maybe you say it first. It's Happy Holidays. We're going to keep the peace in our store. We're not going to offend those who are celebrating Hanukkah, those who don't believe in any God, and those who celebrate something else. or anything else. We are going to be friends to everyone. And in a sense, we're trying to build peace. And we're actually tearing it down. Isn't it crazy? Our world is really mixed up, but it's not new. I hope that doesn't make you feel, oh, good. You know, we're not the first people to do this. When Christ was present physically in the flesh on earth, you know how they thought peace would be established? Is that the Romans left. They too were confused about this. Because they're not listening to the word. They're hearing what they want to hear. Sometimes husbands and sons, both, but we're accused of selective hearing, right? Selective listening. We hear what we want to hear. When I was a kid, if mom wanted us to do chores and she called out our names, she usually started out with, Carl! When you heard Carl Richard wink, you better get going. But if she got in the cookie jar, it was like a lightning bolt flash. I was in the kitchen. We have selective hearing. And when it comes to God's word, we have the same kind of behavior. We hear that Christ is going to bring peace. That's what we hear. But that's not what the lesson said. There's a difference between bringing peace and where it says, and he shall be their peace. What we want is peace here and Jesus over here. We want to have the world and the kind of peace and lifestyle and choices and freedoms. And maybe Jesus, for those who are Christian, we don't want him out of the room. But we don't want the two so close, because if I was really, I mean, really, really, really a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, I'd have to make changes. I'd have to get up every Sunday. I'd have to stay at church a little longer. I couldn't come late and leave early. I'd have to be involved. Maybe not the pastor. We can only have two. You know? But I need to do something. I would need to serve. I wouldn't have time for fill in the blank. What consumes you? It could be recreation. It could be your workaholic. It could be anything between. If Jesus was really all my life, if Jesus was really fully in my heart with no room for selfishness and no room for sinful living and no room for self-indulgence, I'd be skinnier. How about you? But here's the good news. Into our mess and into our crises and into the chaos comes Jesus. The peace is not dependent on me. It's not dependent on you. It's not dependent on one bulb or 1,000. It rests solely, completely, as they would say, lock, stock, and barrel. From beginning to end, it's in Christ. Christ is our peace. And we speak of it in many ways. We speak about being alive in Christ, dead to sin. We speak about being filled with the peace of Christ. We speak about, a follower of Christ. In other words, I'm following Christ because that's my peace. His path leads to peace now and peace forever in its fullness, in its entirety. That's the joy of Christmas. world peace cannot happen when Christ isn't our peace. Family peace cannot happen when Christ is not the peace of each member of the family. Workplace will never have peace. The church on earth will never fully have peace unless Christ is the peace of every participant, every member. But that's exactly what he came to do. He came to be present in each of us. He came to give himself in reconciling us to God, so that there is peace with God, because the sins of the world will be taken away by this Lamb, this precious, unblemished Lamb. And he gives us his Spirit so that his presence, spiritually speaking, is still with us. And in him is peace. But how often do we look to manufacture our own, to redefine it? And it's just as often as Christmas gets redefined, reimaged, repictured. Christmas is Santa. Christmas is snow. Christmas is reindeer, one with a nose aglow. You know, Christmas is all of this stuff that we kind of put into our picture. And when we really start believing that, guess what happens? Our peace starts to fade, diminish, and sometimes even go away. Because all these other things will fail. Only Christ will not. We get so frustrated when governments don't do what we want, but it's really just like us. We're not doing what God wants. We're not serving him. We're not glorifying him. We live for self. We covet, we lust, we crave, and we do stuff. And here Christ comes into a mixed up world, mixed up lives. And he tells us, I forgive you. To have peace is to repent. To have peace is to receive the forgiveness by faith. And to have peace is exactly who Christ is and what he means to us. He is our peace. If you're stressed, if you're down, if you're confused, if all you do is frown, like the Bible says, think of these things. What really is Christmas? It's the babe of the manger. It is peace in an infant, our Lord. Amen.